Commissioner O'Grady, would you please lead us in the pledge to the flag?
Certainly. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Commissioner O'Grady. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Hetherington.
Present.
Commissioner Marks is not here. Commissioner O'Grady.
Here.
Commissioner Jack.
Here.
Commissioner O'Keefe.
Here.
And Chairperson Fonzie.
Here. Okay. Next, we'll go on to the Planning Commission business. And before we start, we'd like to get the microphones adjusted just a little bit, if we could.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully.
Discharge the duties of Planning Commissioner.
For which I'm about to enter.
Thank you, Marcia. While we're waiting for Heather to come up and join us at the dais, Heather, would you like to introduce yourself to the public and just say a few words about your background and your goals as a planning commissioner?
Good evening. I'm honored to be serving, and I, too, thank Greg for his years of service and honored that Tom O'Malley has appointed me. My background is that of a CPA, a small business owner, and just my husband and I moved here because we love the quality of life that Atascadero affords us and the beauty of this city, and I look forward to serving in the implementation of the vision of what Atascadero is moving towards being, and excited and honored to be serving with all of you, and look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next item of business is selection of a vice chairperson. Vice Chairperson Slane was in that position prior to this time. It's my understanding that it is based upon longevity, and that would be the normal order. I do believe that Sandy Jack would be next in line, although it's fairly close. I'd like to nominate Sandy for the vice chairperson position. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
I think we have a second by Ms. O'Keefe. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Hetherington.
Yes.
Commissioner O'Grady.
Yes.
Commissioner Jack.
Yes.
Commissioner O'Keefe.
Did you say my name?
O'Keefe.
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno.
Yes.
And Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Motion passes, 5-0.
Thank you. Our next item of business is approval of agenda. Do we have a... Okay, can you hear it now or not? Okay, we'll wait till we get this fixed.
Test 1-2.
Still doing a little hum on it.
Okay, can you hear me out there? Very good, thank you. Okay, our next item of business is approval of the agenda. Is there anyone who would like to change the order of the agenda? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Excuse me.
Okay, moved by Commissioner Jack and seconded by Commissioner Hetherington. A roll call, please.
Vice Chairperson Jack.
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington.
Yes.
Commissioner O'Grady.
Yes.
Commissioner O'Keefe.
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno.
Yes.
Chairperson Fonzie.
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
Thank you. Our next item of business is the public comment portion of the meeting. This is open to anyone in the public who would like to speak on an item that is not on tonight's agenda over which the commission has jurisdiction. Please state your name and address for the record.
Good evening. Tom O'Malley, resident of the city of Atascadero. And I did want to just thank Greg Slane for his service on our planning commission as my appointee for some time. And, of course, I know Heather, just thank you for accepting this. And I just want to acknowledge Greg's service and thank Heather for stepping up to this position. So thank you, Roberta, for allowing me to share those thoughts.
Thank you, Councilman O'Malley. Would anyone else like to address the commission tonight? Seeing none, I will close the public comment portion and bring it back to the commission. Is there any ex parte communication that needs to be disclosed? Let's start from Commissioner Hetherington and work our way down.
No.
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 I visited three of the properties, the Westfront property, the Navajoa, and the San Paulo Road properties.
And I visited all the sites and spoke to no one.
And when I stopped at the Lube and Go, both of the owners were there, and I did talk to them. And also I spoke to Randy at Westfront. He happened to be out there when I went out there, and he showed me around and basically was able to answer all my questions.
Thank you. Our next item is approval of the minutes of the meeting of April 15, 2008. Do I have a motion for approval?
Oh, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Moved by Commissioner O'Grady, seconded by Commissioner Hetherington. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Jack?
I'll abstain since I was not present at the meeting.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno?
I will abstain as well.
Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-2.
Thank you, Annette. We come to the public hearing portion of the meeting, and our first item is a continued item, and this was heard at our last meeting. It is for a residential care facility at 9435 El Bordo. Staff report, please.
Good evening, Commissioners. Our first item tonight is going to be a 12-client residential care facility. This project is located at the end of El Bordo Avenue, just before the park down here at the end. It is zoned single-family residential designation Z, and the site area is a little under an acre. The proposed 12-client care facility is proposed for elderly care in an existing residence. The applicant currently owns the Lakeside Guest Home, which is a 10-bed care home located on Mountain View Drive. They're going to be relocating to this facility on El Bordo if approved. The site contains a house that's 3,550 square feet, and the property is served by city sewer. There will be modifications to the residence to comply with occupancy requirements for the care home. This project was continued from our meeting 2 weeks ago. There were the applicant requested to waive or modify several conditions, and the Planning Commission decided to continue the item in order to address these issues. Those were building and fire conditions, parking and frontage improvements, and landscape conditions. The building and fire conditions have been revised from our previous meeting. The condition now states that the applicant is allowed up to 6 non-ambulatory clients, and this is regulated by the building code requirements. So based on their occupancy and the upgrades that they're proposing at the building, 6 non-ambulatory clients would be allowed. There is a fire truck turnaround that is located at the top of the driveway, so the fire department has cleared that for adequate access. And condition number 6 has been revised to state that 6 standard parking spaces or 4 standard parking spaces and 1 handicap space shall be provided. The city engineer has confirmed that a slurry seal of L border frontage is necessary, and we are not recommending that that condition be waived. The landscape was also discussed at the last meeting. This is a summary of the landscape requirements that have been conditioned on the project. The project is conditioned to install street trees every 30 feet on center. The applicant has requested this requirement be removed. They can be planted in, it doesn't have to be a straight line, they can be kind of a more natural landscape as the way they're installed. There's also a 5-foot landscape planter that's required along the back fence in front of the parking area, a 6-foot landscape finger along the side, and landscape that's required along the chain link fence at the back of the lot. The trash enclosure is also required to be built out of a masonry material rather than wood, and staff has conditioned a split face block consistent with the retaining wall at the back of the lot. So these are some of the conditions that the applicant has requested be waived or modified. Here we see pictures of the site. This is the parking area. The fire truck turnaround is located at the back of the site. The trash location would be right about here, and staff has proposed there.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? Commissioner O'Grady?
On page 9, existing use, residential care facility, 12 clients maximum. And then on page 10, it talks about the zoning being residential, single family, and 6 clients or more with the approval of a conditional use permit. Are we approving going from 6 to 12 as part of this?
No, this is proposes a new care facility. Existing use is only a single family residence. So on page 9, that is a mistake in the staff report.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last phrase.
It is a mistake in the staff report on page 9.
Oh, that should say 6?
No, it's right now it's just a single family residence, and it's being proposed as a 12 client care facility.
Okay, so, but the zoning.
The zoning
is
single
what?
Family residential, Z.
Correct, but Z allows for residential facilities that serve a maximum of how many clients?
Under 6 or under is just allowed without a conditional use permit. Once you hit 7 or over, it requires a conditional use permit.
Okay, mm-hmm. All right. I note the difference, vast difference in square footage between this item is what, 3,000 and something. And another item on our agenda this evening is double that or more. And there are state standards governing how many clients can be in a particular capacity facility. Have you looked at this, or how does that?
They'll get all their licensing through the state as part of that. Our building department checks the building for building code requirements, but then they'll actually get their licensing as far as a number of staff to number of clients. That's all done through the state.
But so 7 bedrooms for 12 clients, that's within the standards?
Yes, they can double up and put 2 people in a room. That's not a problem.
Okay, and then the slurry seal, I didn't quite hear what you said. The report on page 11 says the slurry seal is included in
yes.
the resolution?
We have included a condition which requires applicant to slurry seal the road. It's a fairly standard condition.
Okay. What happens to the lakeside project that is existing lakeside facility that's being abandoned, or what's going on with that?
My understanding is that the applicant has lost the lease on the building, or the applicant could probably answer your question best, but they're actually looking for a new facility, and this has become open for them, so they're trying to move to this new location.
Okay, thanks very much.
Any other questions for staff? Seeing none, I'd like the applicant to approach the podium, state your name and address for the record, and why don't you tell us about your project?
Hello, my name is Al Clark. I live at 9535 Carmel Road in Atascadero. I own the residence, and I am a co-applicant with a care facility owner. And to the commissioner's question, very good questions, Mr. O'Grady. The applicant is moving from the existing facility to relocate to this facility for a number of reasons. Most of them are this current facility will provide them with more space. It has a couple more meeting areas for the residents. They call them residents. And has a larger backyard where they can do their exercise and crafts, more parking, larger lot. It has a view. There's the other existing facility is quite old. And basically not enough room for her to expand her business. I'm open to answer any other questions.
Well, before we ask the questions, why don't you tell us about the exceptions that you're asking in terms of landscaping and slurry seal and trees, so forth?
Thank you. As part of the submittal, there are very few things as far as legislated that the commission is able to basically have variance on. And basically, there's four key items that I'd like the commission to look at, and mainly has to do with landscaping, as stated. I appreciate all Callie's work on this project. She's been cooperative. I've worked with Tom Peterson of the fire department. He's walked through the residence numerous times. I've had discussions with him and also with the building department to ensure that this is a viable opportunity for the care facility. In our original discussion, we were hoping to not have them because it didn't seem in character. But having said that, we talked about it and we walked through the property and viewed it. And we were in agreement, I think, with Ms. O'Keefe that it'd be nice to group them down there. And so item nine we have is really not, we will provide the street trees and work with the city arborist to put the appropriate trees down there. The other two items is item number 10, which has to do with a chain link fence and have landscaping. Part of the residents that are there, the key area that they're going to be is in the backyard, and the only area that there is a chain link fence is in the backyard. And because of some of the client's conditions, the tenant prefer not to have landscaping there because some of the tenants are in a state where they don't know what they're doing, so they have to be watched constantly, and they would like to minimize. So it's going to be a big lawn area, per se, shrubs and stuff in the backyard. So that chain link fence doesn't have proposed not to have any landscaping in the front, but if you had walked in the backyard, you will notice from the adjacent lot it is filled with trees right up against it, basically has landscaping on the other side of the fence versus this side, and it's pretty well screened. But on that side, there is no neighbor. It's I think it's a retention basin for Atascadero Mutual Water. So asking for an exception to the landscaping against the chain link fence. And the last item is a trash enclosure. Per our previous discussion, it was discussed about masonry versus wood. The reason why we'd like to go with the wood structure is that there's the wood fence as it goes up. We'd like to set that, and it would blend in with the wood fence, and it would be landscaped around there versus a masonry structure, which, like one of the commissioners had brought up last meeting, was typically you have masonry more for durability and almost more for visual acuity. People will drive down a highway and look over, and it kind of blends in the masonry. Well, if you notice from the photographs, this property sits extremely high, That's one of the advantages that the tenant would like, but you can't view it from the street. In fact, in its location, you wouldn't be able to view it until you came up actually parallel with the parking area. So basically three items I'm looking for the commission's review, and that's items 8, 10, and 11.
Thank you, Mr. Clark. If you would remain for a moment, are there any questions for Mr. Clark?
The co-applicant is unable to be here tonight. She had, given her business, she had an emergency come up.
I don't think any of the other commissioners have a question, but I do regarding the chain link fence and the landscaping. You stated that this could be a problem for some of the elderly clients that you had. Is this a health issue or a safety issue? Could you explain that a little better?
Based on what tenant had, the business owner had mentioned, that some of the clients are in certain states of Alzheimer's and other dementia states where they don't realize what they're doing. So if one of her examples, I think she gave at the last meeting, is that inside the facility itself, there's a limited amount or no plants allowed by the state. I can't quote her precisely, but that was one of the comments that she brought up.
Thank you.
They may ingest something, and if someone doesn't see it, it may create a health problem.
Thank you. Commissioner Jack?
Yes, Mr. Clark, I do have a couple of questions, and it has to do with the Alzheimer's condition. Having recently worked with my mother, is there any way that the exit doors will have any kind of an alarm system on them, and for if an Alzheimer's patient were to try to get outside?
Very good question. I think as early brought up is that the process that we're going through here, your review, there's another review with the state, and then there's specific criteria like stated in the building requirements from the R3 to R4, and one of those requirements is specifically that if you have those type of patients on site, that you are required to have a system so when a door opens up to the exit, it's an alarming device that the people that work there know that a door is being opened. That's a state requirement as well as a requirement for this type of facility.
Okay, thank you. The other thing on the landscaping
will be user-friendly as well as pleasing to the eye.
Very good. Thank you.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Does the fence wrap around and enclose the whole backyard so that there's no way that, say, a dementia patient could wander out of that area?
That's a very good point, and currently it does. And there'll be some minor modifications because right now in the would be the upper left-hand corner of the map up there. There's an animal pen that is going to be removed. Currently, right now, it's all completely enclosed because of we used to have dogs there and so on, 4-H projects and such. But the fence will always be completely enclosed to, you know, so no one can walk away, let's say. It's a security and safety for the clients is the owner's utmost concern. She spends a lot of time and energy ensuring that the clients are safe.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Clark.
Thank you.
I would like to open this to the public now. If there's anyone who would like to speak on this item, please approach the podium now. Seeing none, I'm going to close the public comment portion and bring it back to the commission for consideration. Commissioner O'Keefe?
Excuse me. The one recommendation that I would like to see removed is with regard to the fencing and the landscaping in the back. The lot next to it is, while it's zoned residential, nobody lives there. However, I support all of the other recommendations that staff made, including the concrete enclosure for the waste disposal, just a major part of that is because it will look nice for a longer time. This is a conditional use permit, and they are getting a special exception. The landscaping that is required is all reflects what's in our zoning ordinances, and I don't think it would be a major expense to put in a 5-foot buffer there versus a 3-foot buffer. So, with the one exception of the backyard, I do support staff's recommendations.
Any other comments? Commissioner O'Grady?
Oh, I guess I'm just curious, Commissioner O'Keefe, about your accepting the landscaping in the backyard. Could you elaborate on why?
Well, the reason for that, I believe, is because it would act as a buffer for the neighbors next door, but there is some landscaping there already, and Callie could probably elaborate, but there is some landscaping there already. As he said, there's if I remember, I was in the back, and there's kind of a wide section there where there are some plantings and things like that. But on the other side of the fencing, there's a lot of native shrubs, so it's heavily covered with shrubbery and things like that. And as I said, you know, when you were talking about maybe putting some annuals or perennials in there, that they said that's problematic for older people who might pick some of the stuff up and eat it. The apricots, I guess, won't hurt anybody.
Thanks. Any other comments? Commissioner Moreno?
I think that the applicant said something about 5-foot versus 3-foot having to do with parking. Or Callie, were you the one that mentioned that? Could we get clarification?
The code requires a 5-foot landscape area be on the side property line. It's required by two sections of the code. It's required because there's parking facing the residents next door and because it's required along all side property lines. The Planning Commission can choose to waive or modify this condition. So if you wanted to approve a 3-foot landscape buffer, you would just have to make the finding that there is adequate landscaping there already and that the 5-foot is not needed. Same with the one in the backyard. If the existing is adequate, Planning Commission has to make a finding, and then you can waive condition. Commissioner O'Keefe?
When I asked Kelly about this, there is an exception for single family dwellings, but for other kinds of, and in this case, a residential care facility or other uses, that is a requirement. The 5-foot is a requirement. If, as you see it now, there is no buffer there, and that's because it was used as a residence.
Are there any other questions or comments? I have one question for staff regarding the planting again. Mr. Clark mentioned that this would make less parking area, that the spaces actually would be shorter, I would understand it. Would that make these more like for a compact car, or these would still fit a normal vehicle?
No, it would still fit a normal vehicle. Fire department requires 20 feet from the end of the parking space.
That the Planning Commission adopt resolution PC 2008-0028, certify and propose negative declaration 2008-0010, and approving PLN 2008-1279, which is a conditional use permit based on findings and subject to conditions of approval, and removing the requirement for the landscaping in the backyard.
I'll second that.
Moved by Commissioner O'Keefe, seconded by Commissioner Hetherington. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
Thank you, Annette. Our next item on the agenda is for a CUP amendment for West Front Road Care Facility. And before we start, I need to excuse myself. I am an employee of Century 21 Hometown that has this property listed, and although I will receive no material benefit from the sale or the development of this property, to avoid the appearance of impropriety, I would like to step down. And this will put our new Vice Chair, Commissioner Jack, in the line of fire.
Good luck, Sandy. Hey.
With the backup I've got here,
no problem. Okay. Could we have the staff report, please?
Our next item tonight is going to be an amendment to CUP 2000-0004. This was a residential care facility that was approved back in 2000. This is an amendment to that CUP. The facility is located near Highway 101, next to the on-ramp, off of West Front. There's a private access easement, which gives access to the care home. The site is about 2.5 acres, and it's zoned residential suburban. To give you a little bit of background about this conditional use permit, it was originally approved in November of 2000. It was approved for a 15-bed residential care facility for elderly care. There were several conditions which included modifications to the originally proposed CUP. So what basically happened on the night it was approved, the applicant came forward with the plan. The commission approved it that night with modified conditions. In January of 2003, a building permit was issued for this project. The building permit actually showed a larger size building, a 7,652-square-foot building, which is about 18% larger than the square footage shown in the CUP. Staff is allowed to approve an increase of 10%. There's a condition in the CUP which allows that. But the existing building is 524 square feet over the maximum size that staff is allowed to approve. And these are photos of the existing as-built facility on site. The larger size, it seems, was needed to meet all of the ADA requirements for access throughout the building. In this facility, they have 16 bathrooms, which all require a wheelchair turnaround area, which is 16 inches in diameter. There are also over 200 feet of hallways in the building, which have a 5-foot minimum width. And these are all occupancy issues that were addressed in building permits after the CUP was approved. The size of the building was increased, however, staff did not catch it at that time, which is why we were bringing it back for you at this time. No bedrooms were added to the as-built facility. It was still built with 15 bedrooms, but the overall size of the building was increased. A little bit more background on this. The project has gone through several different owners and gone through escrow a few times in the last 8 years since it was originally approved. The last application that we received was actually for a drug and alcohol rehabilitation center, which proposed 36-bed facility. There was a neighborhood meeting held in February, and the neighbors expressed some concern about the rehabilitation center. In April of 2008, that application was withdrawn. However, the inconsistencies with the CUP and the existing structure that were discussed at that neighborhood meeting were still left open. So our city attorney has recommended a CUP amendment to resolve the inconsistencies of the building. Right now, we have a new applicant that has proposed to amend the project to approve the existing as-built facility. On May 9th, the application was submitted, and on May 29th, we did a follow-up neighborhood meeting with the neighbors to discuss the current amendment. There is no change in the approved use. They are proposing a 15-bed care facility for elderly care, which is consistent with the 2000 Planning Commission approval. There are a few items that are proposed to be amended, and those include the size of the structure, a new landscape and fencing plan, and a new sign which is proposed in front of include a total of 10 spaces with 2 handicap spaces, so 8 on the side, 2 on the side. And then they are proposing a new trash enclosure, which will be made out of a split face block consistent with the original project approval. This is the landscape plan that the current applicant has proposed. There would be landscape all around this wrought iron fence. And then there would be a gate at the front of the building. And staff is recommending that one extra condition be added to the resolution if you would choose to approve this tonight, and that's that the existing landscape outside the wrought iron fence would remain. So anything that was originally installed would also remain in addition to this new landscaping here. Traffic and on this private access easement has been something that's been discussed with the neighbors. We have asked the applicant of the care home to give us an idea of how many trips per day they're expected at the care home, and that comes to about 10 trips per day for this facility. A average single-family residence takes about 10 trips per day, so we've come up with a calculation that would help in maintaining the access easement, since this is a private road, which is privately maintained, and the applicant on the care home has agreed to a 54% maintenance cost, and they would work that out between the neighbors so that they can maintain it by themselves. The proposed amendment is consistent with the mitigated negative declaration, which was certified in 2000. These are the findings as shown in your staff report, and tonight staff is recommending that the Planning Commission adopt the resolution with this added condition for the landscaping. And that concludes staff's presentation.
Thank you. Before we get into any discussion on this, I would like to ask someone from staff to give us an explanation of how this happened, because, you know, I sit here as a commissioner, and I'm sure the other ones do, and rely upon your guidance and your judgment in approving and disapproving some of these items. So I'd like to have some idea as to how this came about and what would prevent it from happening again.
Sure. Thank you, and good evening, Commissioner. Steve McHarris, Deputy Director. So the question is, how did the size change, and an explanation for that? I'll basically review, and I'll try to give you a little more detail, though there's not that much more to offer. As Callie had mentioned, on the screen you see this exhibit we put together for you to explain as clearly as possible where the change took place and how it takes place. So first I'll start with the process. After a conditional use permit is approved, and with the approval of that permit are exhibits that can range from conceptual to fairly precise, and they do range, and you know that from your experience. With this one, we had a floor plan, and we had something fairly conceptual, but on the drawings, there was identification of a specific square footage. Sometimes that's provided on the drawing, sometimes it's not. It certainly could be calculated. But in this case, we did have a specific square footage identified. So with the approval of the CUP, the next step is building permit application. And at that time, the applicant or the owner, whoever is building the project, will submit some very detailed drawings. And that process can take, and typically does take, several months. And it typically involves more than one application. In other words, or more than one submittal. There'll be a submittal. Staff will review that and return the drawings with corrections. And this goes back and forth a few times. In this type of project, it's fairly complicated, and there were some changes in use during the building permit process. And at a certain point in time, and it was probably between the second and third plan check, there were corrections from staff, or there was a response from staff's corrections to accommodate ADA access within the building. And those are identified on the drawing on the screen, which shows the corridors. It affected the corridors, the width of the corridors, and the bathrooms. And you see there are a number of bathrooms because there are another number of rooms. And in total, when you total all that area up, the expansion ended up occurring within the building, which actually expanded the building footprint. That's exactly where staff had missed the increase in building size, not paying attention to that overall number. It appeared that the building was the same, but in fact it had actually expanded. So that's exactly what happened. So from there, the building plans were approved, and after approval, the building was constructed. At some point after construction or during construction or after a substantial amount of construction, the problem was...
I thought give staff the opportunity to give us a brief overview of what happened. You know, when a building goes up an extra 6 feet, automatically you got some issues that come to mind, and I appreciate your comments and straightforwardness on it.
Sure, and I'm really referring not so much to the height as the overall square footage.
Yeah.
That's been the main issue for some time now.
Okay. Well, very good. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. Yes.
You made reference to changes in use. What were those changes in use that would have?
Well, most recently we had the drug rehabilitation.
But that
use.
Was after the building was that, built.
That's correct.
Were there changes in use while the building was going through the permitting process?
Sure. I think we'll have Ms. Taylor review that with you. There were some earlier changes.
In 2004, they did. The applicant did come in to do a change in some of the building plans to make it fit an occupancy requirement for Alzheimer's use. The current applicant is not proposing Alzheimer's use, but the building has been built to meet those occupancy requirements if necessary.
What are those requirements?
It has to do with some of the exiting requirements, alarms on the doors.
But it has nothing to do with square footage?
No, it has nothing to do with square footage. The square footage was approved in 2003. The upgrades for the occupancy requirements came back about a year later, and they just found... And it really had to do with that the person building the facility wanted to make it more marketable for different types of use. So while they were building it, they wanted to add those upgrades in.
Okay. And then I have another question. It's difficult for me to understand how, you know, it needed to be ADA compliant, and in part this is why they can have more non-ambulatory patients than the previous applicant could have. But don't you require some scale of drawing? Do you allow the kind of plans that were submitted before to be approved? Because clearly if they had been scaled, not down to the last inch, this problem wouldn't have come up.
I think that's probably an issue about the way that, you know, the city has dealt with these type of things over the past 8 years. 8 years ago, the Planning Commission would approve conceptual plans with 20 conditions to make modifications. At this time, as you can see on the El Bordo project, that project went back to resolve those issues with staff and then came back for a complete approval by Planning Commission. So I think that the level of design that we saw in the original CUP, the concept plans and the concept landscaping, that's not typically something that we would take to Planning Commission right now. We would have those issues worked out before we even got here. So I think it's just a lot of changes have been made within the department, within the city, since this was originally approved.
So then also, in fact, the person who was checking the plans was really doing what he should have been doing and caught some problems that had not been taken into consideration, some issues that have not been addressed with regard to compliance, code compliance, and the total size of the building.
It's hard to say. There were several issues that the building department caught that were not caught during the concept plans. When they came in for the technical drawings and the building permit, that's when the building department really sits down and checks every turnaround area, the hallways, that sort of thing. At this time, we actually check those now, but 8 years ago, those weren't checked before it went to Planning Commission. So that's a little bit different. And then when it did come in for building permits, ideally we would have brought it back for an amendment at that time before issuing those building permits. So that was something that staff at that time unfortunately just missed the size of the building. And if it was under, the rules that we have today, as some of the other projects you've seen tonight, amendments have come in for small changes, but we still bring it back to the Planning Commission because we want to be consistent with those CUPs. So anytime we do catch it, we would, of course, bring it back to the Planning Commission.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Hetherington.
Hi. So, Kelly, you just mentioned that the rules had changed, so a Planning Commission 4 years from now is not probably going to have to backtrack and do this because the process or the rules have changed to make sure that this isn't missed in future projects?
The rules really haven't changed, but the process and the staff that we have and the number of staff members that we have really looking at the details on these things I think has changed, and the level of accountability has definitely changed in this sort of thing. We're we're very open with the Planning Commission on every small amendment. If it's not allowed to be approved by staff, we always take it back to Planning Commission now.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Commissioner O'Grady.
And so I believe the applicant is testing out some different things to see how high it would have to be to cover those up from the freeway. You can't see them from on-site. This screen covers it right here. But if you are driving south on the freeway, you can see those.
Is there a condition in here that addresses that, what we're talking about right now, that's screening and any kind of quality detail that improves the appearance? Because right now, at least in my opinion, it's an eyesore.
It is a correction that staff has given the applicant that they have to complete that prior to final. It's not specifically in the conditions of this project, but if the Planning Commission wanted to add that, you could do that.
Okay, thanks.
I can add a clarification on that, yeah. Because I talked to the applicant, and he has an architect looking at that. They're trying to work out something, so that's just kind of a temporary fix.
Okay, and then one last comment is, I understand that's roughly the time I moved here, and I was in the planning department. There's new management, is there not, from back at that time?
Yeah, you know, I'd like to jump in there. It was about just before I got here, and I can tell you when I got here, we had a director, we had an assistant planner, and an associate planner on leave. That was it.
Okay. Yeah, because I went in there for something, and it was utter chaos. I finally threw my hands up and said, I'll deal with it, and walked out. So
that was my experience, but I stayed.
I'm glad to see that the changes have been made. Thank you very much. Yes. Commissioner Moreno?
I'm curious about the height, so we understand why the square footage increased. So the extra 6 feet, was it aesthetics? What prompted that?
Yes, the extra height is to provide for these clear story windows that are up here to add light to the center of the building. Typically, staff is allowed to approve architectural changes that are designed to improve the building. So it was staff's opinion that this was a positive architectural change. Since the concept elevations were not incredibly specific, we felt that was within staff's ability to approve that. What we're asking for tonight is that the Planning Commission just approve everything as is. So if you do approve the project, it would include the current height.
And that height is less than any other possible structure that could be there.
It is. It's the total height is about 26 feet, and in a single-family zone, they could do a two-story building that's up to 30 feet tall.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Then I'd like to open this up and hear from the applicant, if I could.
Good afternoon. My name is William Vaughn.
Good evening, Mr. Vaughn.
My name is William Vaughn from Aurora Grande, California. And when I first saw this building, I knew this was a very unique building. It was built for the special purpose of housing our elderly over 80 years old. Most residential care facilities are just that. They're converted houses. This is a building specially built to house our elderly people. 15 private bedrooms and 15 private bathrooms and another bathroom for the public. So this is a building that's totally been underutilized now for 5 years. And I see the potential that it has. It's going to take a lot of money to get it up and going and to satisfy the CUP that is out there. But I'm willing to invest the money to do that. The equipment skirting on the roof was definitely a temporary add-on there to make sure that when I took it to the architect and said, I want a screen that's 6 foot high, that it would cover the equipment up there. And the structure that's up there right now is a wooden structure, which is not in line with the building code. It should be aluminum. So I've told the architect to design me something, because the building plans right now, it just shows one line, and that's the detail for that wall. So he's building me an actual plan for to construct that wall, and I've got a contractor that'll build it also. Are there any questions? I mean, it's pretty clear. I mean, it was just overbuilt, and we now need the commission to approve it as built so that it can be occupied.
Any questions? Okay. Then what I'd like to do is open it up to the public. Anyone that would like care to comment on this?
I live at 10610 West Front Street. At the original Planning Commission meeting in November of 2000, we were shown a rendering of a one-story, 6,480-square-foot ranch-style residential care facility. The commission at that time listened and imposed some conditions to the construction of this facility, conditions that we all discussed together and as a community, with the community and the neighbors. Some of the conditions were as follows. The Community Development Department has the authority to approve minor changes to the project. One, increase the intensity of the project by less than 10%, result in a superior site design or appearance. Three, address a construction design issue that is not substantive to the conditional use permit. The landscape plan shall include a hedge feature along Highway 101. The project shall provide a total of 10 on-site parking spaces. The parking area shall be paved with concrete curbs on the perimeter. Curbs shall also be provided along the landscape areas within the parking lot and internal driveways. All lighting shall be designed to eliminate off-site glare. All exterior lights shall utilize full cut-off hooded lighting features to prevent off-site glare and spillage. Freestanding parking lot lights shall be prohibited. A wall-mounted parking lot light will be installed at the northeast side of the building. I tell you this because none of these and other conditions were followed. They not only didn't catch the fact that the care facility had grown by over 20% to 7,600 square feet, the city's excuse was that because of ADA compliance, it just grew and grew, and the planning department didn't notice. They also didn't notice that there were light standards over 12 feet on the construction plans on file at the city planning and being constructed at the site. Later during the construction, we discovered that asphalt shingles were being put on the roof of this building and not the concrete tiles as ordered by the conditional use permit. I told the city about these two violations, and they were changed. Where were the city inspectors? All of these violations to the conditional use permit on the same building can only be construed to be negligence. The city should make restitution to the Planning Commission, the citizens of the Atascadero, and the neighborhood, just like any of us when we get caught for not following a set of plans and getting caught doing something wrong. One could say that tearing down the building and reimbursing the owners of the building or rebuilding the building to the right size would be restitution. Or restitution could be, one, reduce the cost of the building permits by 50% with a sunset clause of December 2009. Two, allow all secondary units that are ADA compliant buildings not to have to pay permit fees for the square footage of compliant hallways or bathrooms and not count the square footage for the oversize of the unit. Resolve all the current issues of the conditional use permit and the new items on the proposed conditional use permit except the size of the building. The city has an opportunity here to do the right thing and show the community that they want to earn our trust.
Can you conclude that?
Admit the mistake and show the community that when you make a mistake, that you have to do the right thing. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Go right ahead.
Hello, my name is Eddie Sapien. I live at 10620 West Front Street, Atascadero. I'm right next door to the proposed care facility, 42-year residents of San Luis Obispo County. I'm here to talk about another issue, and that's the insurance and liability issue of the private easement that's in there where we're all shared, myself, 10620, 10630, 10600, and 10610. We met with Warren Frace, and he asked us to send a letter with information on our insurance carrier's concerns, which was sent out April 10th. I just received a response Friday, June 13th, two months later. The letter answered the issues that were of great concern to our neighborhood, especially since I have received a letter from my insurance carrier that our policies may be declined or canceled in the event that a claim is made. The letter states not only if something should happen in the private easement, but also if it should happen within our own property lines. I'm concerned that when this business is in operation, that our policies may increase or just flat out be declined for a standard homeowner's policy. I feel that when this project was passed, that none of these issues were dealt with properly, along with the staff report and findings, which left us in a dangerous position. I think that this planning commission should better look into these issues and all the violations to the original conditional use permit before making a decision tonight. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Sapien.
Hello. Hi, my name is Lene Bloomfield. I live on San Gabriel Road, and I would
Excuse me, I didn't catch your last name.
Lene Bloomfield.
Bloomfield, thank you.
And I would just like to say that I drive by this facility every day. And
permit, but there was no plans for that conditional use permit. So I started from scratch. And I hired an engineer to design this building for me to meet all of the state and local requirements. And in order to get this building to meet all those requirements, all in a nutshell, it ended up 1,172 square feet bigger to meet all those requirements. And it wasn't intentional on anybody's part. Like I say, I started with the plan because there was none other. And that's what we ended up with, a building that is a little bit bigger than what the CUP said or asked for. But we did create a nice building there. It's almost like a hospital. I mean, pull stations in the bathrooms and, you know, a lot of security, a main computer station that can monitor all rooms. No expense was spared on this building. And it breaks my heart to see that place not occupied. I know when I owned it, it was in and out of escrow probably 5-6 times. And I didn't deal with very good people. But now we have someone who really wants to put out the effort and really make that place special. Because I've talked to them and I see it. They have it in their heart to make it special, just like I did. And so I hope you approve this. It's really an exceptional facility.
Thank you, Ms. Graves.
Hi, my name is Kristen Crabtree. I want to speak on behalf of my clients. I'm the agent, the real estate agent for Shirley Barrett, the buyer, and Randy Vaughn, the manager of the project. Shirley is probably one of the most ethical, beautiful people that I've ever met. And her intentions with this project are absolutely amazing. She's going to run the most ethical business, one that, like was just said, is really from the heart, and I'm sure it's going to be an incredibly profitable business as a result of that, which is what the city of Atascadero would love, I'm sure. So I just really hope that this gets passed, because I think that it would be good for everyone, and I would like to see it happen.
Thank you. If there's anyone else, would you please move up toward the podium?
Jim Shannon, Tascadero. I wasn't planning on speaking on this issue, but I heard the first gentleman tonight speak about the Alzheimer's facility the one guy wants to open up and do. And I think that place and this one we're talking about here, my father has Alzheimer's. We weren't able to find care for him in this area for his condition. He's in another county. He's been in two different areas. And just to speak on the emotional side of this thing, if there was any way that we could make things better for a family in what we had to face the last 5 years, and the things we had to go through and the hoops we had to go through and the stress and the tough things it's brought to our family, what we had to deal with. I'm saying I wish you guys could approve both of these things. Well, I know you already did the first one. But anything we can do to make things better for families who might have to have someone go to one of these facilities and be closer to their family. You know, it's really been a burden on our family to have my father far away from us. And like I said, I wasn't going to speak about it, but I just felt obligated in listening and all this stuff. I mean, I don't care about all these codes or violations they might have made. There's something bigger than that. That's a human life and the ability for families to be close and be together, especially when you have a member of your family facing the last stages of their life. So, I mean, I've just put my two cents in for what all that's worth, and thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Appreciate your comments. Is there anyone else? Seeing none, I'll close it to the public and bring it back to the commission. I think I'd like to make try and set the tone here. Commissioner Hetherington?
Before you set the tone, I guess I would like some clarification from staff about the liability issues on the easement and if that has been addressed through the city attorney.
Yes, I think what we're addressing is, or your question is, regarding the access and the liability related to the access. That would be the subject of some debate, I suppose. But our position, staff's position, is that it is a consistent use in a residential neighborhood through the approval of a CUP.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I had a conversation with staff this afternoon, or was it yesterday? Days are running together lately. This building's built. We're all new planning commissioners here. For the most part, the staff is new. And that was why I asked staff to kind of explain to everyone what happened, how this happened. I don't see any useful purpose in trying to take a building down that's already up to make any major to get into any arguments over who shot John, if you will. I think I'd like to see the commission address what we have in front of us and move on for either the approval or denial. And with that, I'll open it up to any comments from you. Yes, Commissioner.
I think it's really important that this building be occupied, and it will provide a first-class place for those people who can afford it. Each room has, its own bathroom. It's been designed to be ADA compliant. It's very unfortunate that there was the breakdown there. Staff is right. They were very shorthanded. There was difficulty keeping building inspectors. There was a big turnover at that particular time, and I certainly don't think the owner of the property who built the building did anything. It was very obvious when he started working with things that the total figures for the square footage just didn't work for the requirements that were required on this building. And so, yes, I too would like to see this. I'd like to see this building have people in it.
Commissioner Hetherington?
I mourn every time I drive by seeing that building vacant and its potential. So I move that the Planning Commission adopt resolution. I'm sorry.
Could we hold your motion for just a moment, please, and give the other commissioners an opportunity? Did you have anything else you wanted to say?
No.
Okay. Yes, Commissioner Moreno?
Just with regards to the paving and the curbs and why that changed, why that isn't being going forward with now.
It was just something that the they didn't install when they were building it, and it hasn't really found to be necessary. Actually, Steve Kahn might be able to address this also. Curbs are usually installed along the parking lot for drainage requirements, but it's my understanding that on this this parking lot, it just wasn't necessary.
Yeah, I don't know the particular details on the curbs and why they weren't installed in this project.
Is there any good reason why they should be installed?
Again, I'd have to see the specifics of this site. I haven't visited the site for several years. My hunch is that Callie is right, that it has to do with drainage and let the water disperse off the site. So, again, I would have to review the site design and the site in order to make a determination of that.
Thank you. Commissioner O'Grady?
Well, I don't think there's any question that the process broke down here, and the neighbors have been on the defensive since day one. I'm really sympathetic with the neighbors. One of our main responsibilities is to protect citizens that live in the area of projects and make sure that they are not harmed and property values are not unnecessarily deteriorated or devalued by virtue of what's going on. I know there's all kind of good excuses here that have been articulated. Nevertheless, certain things have happened that probably should not have. But I'm not into retribution either, and so I agree with the points made by the other commissioners here and with Mr. Shannon's statements about there is a bigger picture here. Nevertheless, the neighbors had a list of items that they mentioned from the podium, and I'd like to hear that list, or if staff has it and can respond to each and every
on the site, and it should remain.
So you believe that's equal to or better than the hedges that were a part of the original CUP?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Another condition was that they provide a total of 10 on-site parking spaces. Originally, they had proposed more than that. Right now, there are currently, I think, 11 or 12 parking spaces on site, and that just has to do with the way that it was striped. So the current applicant is proposing to restripe the parking lot to comply with this condition.
Okay.
Another issue was about the curbs. The curbs were not installed, and it hasn't seemed like they have been needed. So staff is proposing that condition be waived so that curbs are not required. The hooded light fixtures did show up on the plans that were issued in 2003, but they were not installed, and they are currently not installed on site. There are no parking lot lights right now.
Are there any plans?
No, there are no plans to install lights, and staff would not final the building if there were.
Okay.
There were some other things that we addressed in the staff report, the items that we went through, some other conditions. There was one about relocating the parking area. In that case, we eliminated the loop driveway, and right now there's just a one entrance onto the site. There was a condition that the staff modify the color and materials of the exterior of the building to include a combination of stucco, lap siding, and brick. The current building is designed with stucco and lap siding, but there is no brick on the building. It was just found that it wasn't really architecturally compatible with the design that they came up with. And there was another condition that the trash enclosure be constructed of decorative masonry materials, and staff is leaving that condition, and the applicant will rebuild the trash enclosure before finaling the building. And I believe that addresses most of those. Were there any other things that you saw?
I was mainly interested in getting responses to the neighbors' list, and with the chair's permission, and if I'd like to hear the neighbors' response to these items, such as hedges versus trees, curbs, and lights or no lights.
It's in this here.
As far as I'm Dave Garibay. As far as the lights and no lights, it's true there are no parking 12-foot standard lights. However, there are lights at every sliding door on that building. And if I'm not mistaken, there's 15 sliding doors, not windows, that was proposed in the original building. When you turn all those lights on, it lights the whole building like a Christmas tree. And I brought that to Randy's attention one evening, and he did appease us and turn off the lights. But if those lights were hooded lights, there wouldn't be any of that bunch of lights, a bunch of looking lights like that.
These are like wall pack lights that just stare right out at you when you turn them on?
Okay. Correct. As far as the hedge and the trees are, you know, it was just a matter of it not being consistent with the CUP. I don't have a problem with trees. I have an extra 40 trees on my property. The biggest concern was the footprint that this building left in my eyes. When I first came here to talk to you about it, one of my issues, if you look back on the minutes, was the height of the building. At that time, the commission appeased me by saying there was a 5-foot elevation difference between my home and that building. Well, they just took up 6 feet of that. And so they made that change, which I in my mind, see it being more than less than 10% ability for the planning department to be able to do. And, of course, obviously the size. I agree that the inside is really nice. And I appreciate the ADA part of it. The thing is that when you turn in a concept and you say the building's going to be 6,400 square foot convalescent home, the automatic thought is that it's going to be ADA compliant. It doesn't just appear.
Yeah.
So the building's there. It's a nice building. It's just big. And according to even the contractor, it looks like a hospital. We're a residential area. So figure it out. I mean, we have to do something.
What about the curbs?
Again, that was a consistency that wasn't in you. You voted it in. I'm just bringing it to your attention.
The National, and basically, I got a hold of them through my agent because I was concerned. Because anytime you're around an industrial, residential, or business type setting, your policy could be scrutinized. So, therefore, in the event that somebody gets injured, you know, my insurance carrier could come and say, okay, what's going on? And if there's a claim to be made, they can scrutinize my policy and say, hey, this is not in the normal neighborhood setting, unquote, and they could therefore not pay. So I have a quote here. It says, straight a letter from my insurance carrier says, if it is determined that a home is located within a commercial, industrial, or business location, the home would be considered ineligible for a homeowner's insurance policy. Also, from the insurance company's point of view, if a home is in a high traffic area or exposed to loss outside the normal neighborhood setting, it is likely that adverse action will occur and the policy declined or canceled. So that's the letter I got from my insurance carrier. So that's my concern. Is are we going to be paying more homeowners insurance because of this building and the use and so on and so forth and the high traffic that's involved with it?
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
If I could briefly address the curbs, if the Planning Commission would like, I would be happy to. You could say on the curbs that the Public Works Department will go out and review the need for the curbs and make a determination whether they're needed or not, because at this point I don't know whether they're needed for drainage or parking or what. I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you. Steve, would you address this insurance thing, because this seems to be something different that's...
Sure. And maybe even just before I jump into that, the curbs. The curbs was something, of course, it's up to the commission if they would like to add that. I would just suggest from the planning side, looking at the consistency of this building and the institutional appearance, the portions of it that may appear institutional looking, the curb and gutter in the parking area is going to reinforce that institutional appearance. So staff's position would be to drop that curb in the parking area. It doesn't appear to be necessary. It's not a large area, and it would add to the institutional appearance, which would not be preferable.
Okay.
As far as the letter, on page 150 in your staff report is the letter that Mr. Sapien is referring to. And he did read right from it, and, of course, staff has taken a look at this and responded to this letter. The key part here is just toward the beginning there, if it is determined that a home is located within a commercial, industrial, business location, the home would be considered ineligible. And that's what staff was referring to in the staff report, in our neighborhood meetings, and this evening in my earlier response to the commission about liability. This is a residential area, zoned residential. It is allowed through, with this intensity, through a CUP, which has already been approved. So the use is already approved. It's
okay.
These changes that are coming to you. So nothing's changed from a use standpoint. So the insurance carrier would, again, look at the use and determine if it was consistent in a residential neighborhood, which it is here and throughout most cities in California.
Okay, thank you. Did another commissioner have a question?
I'm missing part of the report from page 94 to page 164.
It's probably mixed like it was in mine and one of your other.
No, I've actually been through every page here and have not found it elsewhere. So.
And mine was just with regards to that letter and then seeing that staff in consultation with the attorney had addressed that issue in that letter from Warren.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have a couple of items that I'd like to discuss. And lighting is, I've been out to the facility, looked at it. I think it'll be an asset to the community. But being out there, I'd like to see something either on the lighting that's used, either hooded lighting, LED lighting, some sort of lighting that would tone down. Okay. And then on the sign, the sign was that 10 foot high?
Staff was recommending against that.
It just seemed to me, in looking at the design of the sign, that it was awfully large for that particular, for what we were attempting to do with it. And if I remember correctly, you were talking about limiting it to 20 square feet. And how high was that hole? Because I don't see it needing to be any more than 4.5-5 feet high.
Of emergency, because it can get access from those sliding glass doors if they need to get a stretcher in there or something like that. But there's really no reason why the light should be on at night for each room.
That tends to get into an enforcement issue, which I don't think we're prepared to handle.
Well, even if the lights are hooded, though, there's still going to be some lights.
Yeah, but it's going to be downward directed. And I know there's some LED stuff that you can get hooded that's very directional and will minimize any glare. And I can appreciate the homeowner's concern about the lighting, and I think we ought to do something about the lighting.
Okay, I have another suggestion that I'd like you to consider, and that was in my discussions with Randy. There are trees, conifers, that are planted along the perimeter there, and there were some coast live oak. There's a large area there that could benefit from having some native tree plantings, and when I talked to Randy, it sounded like that wouldn't be a problem. It wouldn't be a major expense. Unfortunately, the coast live oaks that were put in there, they're tall, and they have a trunk about like this, and they were not really staked well. It's a nice site for some native tree planting, and once it's in there, it would act as a very nice buffer, for the house. Does anybody have any pardon? They're so skinny you can't see them. We walked around.
Which area?
There's some kind of laser pointer.
How does it work?
Duck. Maybe the red button. There you go.
Where's the... Callie, would you point to the freeway part?
It's right along the back of the property back here.
Okay, I'm actually talking about the triangle there, because part of that is a leach field in the back of the house, but right there is where I think it would could benefit from some planting. But not in the leach field area, which is a very large area there.
The leach field is located right here on the other side.
And I'm not sure if Valley Oak or Blue Oak, I wasn't sure what other trees were there. But anyway, some combination of oak trees that would do well. And that they should be double-staked instead of staked. They were double-staked, and then another skinny stake was put there, and it affected the vigor of the tree. And once, you know, within 2 or 3 years, they'd be established there. Does anybody have a problem with that?
How many trees are we talking about so a motion can be as specific as possible?
15 to 20, and I'm not expecting all of them to survive. But let's say a 33% survival rate, so maybe 20. And I'd be 5 gallon are fine with me instead of the 15 gallon. So, you know, he's got water out there already.
Is that acceptable to the applicant?
Well,
okay.
I did talk to Randy, who's doing the work out there.
Okay. Is there something new?
No.
Oh, okay. Whichever.
I know I've got one down. Yeah. Okay. I move that Commission adopts Resolution PC 2008-0031, approving PLN 2008-1290, Amendment to Conditional Use Permit 2000-0004, based on findings and subject to conditions of approval, with the following additional conditions of approval. Number one, construct a screen wall around the rooftop HVAC units as required by city staff. Condition two, replace existing wall-mounted light fixtures over all sliding doors with hooded type that blocks horizontal component of light. Condition three, plant 20 additional minimum 5 gallon mixed varieties of oaks at the triangular area to the, is that north of the facility?
Well, it's the fence. It's outside of the metal fencing area there and outside of the leach field.
Okay. Outside of the metal fencing and outside.
Thank you.
Ready for a roll call vote? Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Coming back. I think we'll take a 5-minute break at this time.
call the meeting back to order. Commission will hear CUP amendment to 7095 El Camino Real. And before we start, Commissioner O'Grady wanted to speak a few words.
Yes, I would like to recuse myself from consideration of this particular item, and I do so for the same reasons that I did a few meetings ago for basically the same property, just a different issue on the property. So I would appreciate it if the minutes could just incorporate by reference the statement I made during that past meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner O'Grady. Staff report as soon as he's out of the room, please.
Good evening, Commissioners. The next item before you is a conditional use permit amendment to the Lube & Go project to request some signage amendments and an amendment to an architectural feature that was included in the original plans. Just a little bit of background for those who aren't aware, the project is located at 7095 El Camino Real, which is towards the El Camino Real side of the Vaughn's Rite Aid Shopping Center. It is on its own parcel, and it is zoned commercial retail in the general commercial general plan designation area. The request before you this evening is a request to amend the previously approved signage for the building. When you approved the conditional use permit, there was a signage shown on the approved elevations. The applicant is hoping to amend that and add some additional signage and take some signage away that didn't appear to be in the correct spot once the building was built. There's also a request to remove the trellis feature that was located along the El Camino Real frontage in front of the entrance to the building. So in terms of the signage that is requested, the original plans for the building that were approved with the CUP did not include any building signage along the El Camino Real frontage facing El Camino. And so the applicants are requesting to add a Lube & Go business identification sign above the business entrance and also a proposed car wash sign above the car wash area. In addition, the applicant is proposing a Lube & Go sign above the rear entrance of the building, which faces the center, as they have chosen to put a car wash sign over the car wash area here, designating this as the car wash entrance. Also included in the applicant's revised sign package is a menu board sign, which lists the prices of the services offered at their particular business. These signs that are requested are installed on the building currently. The applicants were unaware of some of the requirements for amendments because they did believe them to be minor. However, they have applied for this amendment. The ADA requirements changed between the Lube & Go application and the Carl's Jr. application, and so the applicants were required to make some changes to the site based on the construction of the Carl's Jr. in terms of creating a pathway all the way from Carl's Jr. to the rear property line, and that path did go along the Lube & Go building here. Because of that, the trellis that was proposed and the size that was proposed where the posts were supposed to hit could not be constructed, so the applicants are requesting that the requirement for this feature be eliminated. The Planning Commission has the authority to require that a trellis be built outside of that ADA-compliant area. It may be smaller or bigger, and we don't really know yet, but the applicant is requesting that that be eliminated, and they have installed some tables and chairs and umbrellas currently for replacement of that feature. The proposed amendments are consistent with the previously certified mitigated negative declaration for the project. The requested amendments are minor in nature, and so staff is recommending that the Planning Commission adopt the resolution before you this evening to approve the amendments as requested. And that concludes staff's presentation. The applicants are available in the audience if you have any questions.
Thank you, Kelly. Commissioner O'Keefe?
Why was no signage approved on the El Camino Real side, which is what's most important? I mean, that's important.
That is how the architect originally submitted the plans.
So do you think it was an oversight?
I couldn't speak for the architect. I know that the applicants feel strongly that they need signage along El Camino, and had they known that that was left out, they probably would have included some signage in the original application.
Okay, and then there is a certificate of occupancy pending this amendment, repaving of the adjacent affected parking lot. Could you show me where that repaving is and why it's included in this, if it's an adjacent lot?
What happened is that the applicants were fairly complete with the building and were requesting that they be allowed to open. So what generally happens is the planning department, the public works department, and the building department go out and do a final inspection of the building. At that point in time, staff did make the applicants aware that their signage was not exactly as per the original CUP and that they still had an outstanding condition to repave the rear parking lot, which is the Video Palace site, which was part of their original conditional use permit approval. Okay. So we did issue them, because there were no life safety issues, temporary occupancy to open until this amendment was cleared, and they did sign an agreement to repave and restripe the Video Palace parking lot when they need to go slurry seal and restripe their own parking lot, which will occur in approximately 60 days.
Okay, I didn't know where it was located. And then with regard to the trellis issue, why is that being brought back? Because it seems to be a very minor change that occurred there.
The trellis was shown on the original conditional use permit approval,
right.
And as we discussed on the last item, staff has the authority to modify the building size by 10%. As the trellis was an architectural feature, that's not something that staff has the authority to amend.
Okay,
without
so
coming
it's the
to planning
architectural
commission.
Feature.
That's then. Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Jack?
Kelly, could you just run down the list of signs? How many of them are illuminated?
The applicants might best be able to answer that question.
Okay.
As I understand it, the Lube & Go signs are internally illuminated box signs. So that's one requested on the front elevation, one on the rear elevation, and there's the one on the side elevation. I believe that the car wash sign that is facing El Camino Real is an illuminated channel letter sign, and the one on the rear of the building, I believe, is non-illuminated, although the applicants can clarify that if I'm mistaken.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Because these signs weren't on the original application that we approved, and they went ahead and put them up anyway, they're in violation of what we approved by putting these signs up, are they not?
They are currently. They did submit a building permit once they were made aware that a permit was required. Apparently, they had received some misinformation from the sign company in terms of what permits were required. There was also some confusion because an outline of the signs, of certain signs, was shown on the approved building permit plan set for the building and did have some very general specifications. So our building department said that that could be considered their sign permit because some of that information was included on there. And so there was sort of just a miscommunication in the applicant's understanding. They thought they had a sign permit based on the building permit that was issued. So once they were made aware that they didn't actually have a sign.
I know that there are umbrellas that they've installed, and I believe they probably provide the same service, but just was curious about that.
I don't have the exact size, but it was to cover and shade the patio and provide an additional feature out in the front area. This was designed as a sort of a gateway building into Atascadero as it aligns with the new freeway interchange exit and entrance. And so it was felt at that time that some additional features were sort of needed to make the automobile use a little bit more compatible with what a gateway feature would look like. And I believe that's how the trellis came to be, is just to be a little bit more pedestrian-oriented and friendly and provide that area for people to sort of congregate outside the building and provide that appearance.
What I'm trying to get at is, if the size of the trellis were reduced, how much would we have to reduce it so that the ADA compliance could continue?
The applicants might best be able to answer that. We haven't looked at plans, but I do know that the pathway goes along the edge of the patio area, and so reduction would maybe not have it directly over the entrance, and I'm not sure how that would appear if it was to be made smaller.
So in other words, it might not look right.
It might not.
Thank you. Commissioner Hetherington?
Kelly, are those tables and umbrellas secure, or are they like the type you would go buy at Kmart?
I don't believe that they're secured. I believe they're like a heavy concrete style table, but the applicants can probably best describe that.
Any other questions? Seeing none, I'll open it to the applicants. If you'd come and state your name and address and tell us about your changes to the project.
My name's Joe Simonin. Well, my business partner, Adam Scatini, we're the co-owners. I live at 1955 Templeton Road, Templeton. I guess I'll just start knocking down the questions. The tables weren't purchased at Kmart. They are permanent concrete tables. You're more than welcome to come check them out if you like, get an oil change while you're there. To the trellis, it just doesn't look right. When we had the ADA, it was all with slopes, and we have the awning coming out the front with the pillars. It just didn't look good. We ended up having to change the slope because we had to go all the way around the back of the building. And we struggled with it because we wanted it to look really good. But really, in the final analysis, we think it looks better now than if we had the trellis. To the point of the signage, we're way below what we could have had. So we thought it was a minimal thing, but the cost of admission to this meeting tonight was $1,050, so I guess it wasn't too minimal. But like I said, we are way under what is allowed for signage. We saved a tree on the, I guess it would be the southwest corner. That sign on the left-handed picture there on the top, that was supposed to be on the other side of the building. Our dirt man said we could save that tree. That tree was supposed to be taken out. We thought that was a good idea, trying to be eco-sensitive. So we moved that sign over to the other side. And there was some oversight as far as the signage not being in the front. Originally, when the building was on the other side of the property, it really didn't make that big a difference because we had the monument sign right in front. But when it got moved back, it was a slight oversight. But the big reason was to save that tree, so we moved it around. Is there any other questions?
My questions deal with the amount of illumination that's going to come out from the signs at night.
It's not much. We got them on a timer to come on. They come on at 8:30 right now. They go off at, I think it's 11:30. So it's pretty short amount of time when they're lit up. We have two of them, or actually the lights that are underneath, like the, I forget what they even call them, but kind of what you wanted them to build on the old folks home there, just for, you know, safety and for, you know, keeping the building safe.
So you get a straight down shot?
Yeah, straight down.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We actually got rid of, we did have other lights that were more illuminating out, you know, horizontally. We got rid of those just for that reason. We thought it was a better look to have the right light coming straight down.
Appreciate that.
Any other questions for applicants? Thank you.
Okay.
I'd like to open this to the public. Is there anyone who would like to speak on this item? Seeing none, I'm going to close it to the public and bring it back to the commission for discussion or for a motion.
Any discussion?
Commissioner O'Keefe?
This project has been designed, redesigned, and redesigned again and again. And each time it got a little bit better because they were able to, well, by acquiring the property. And it's very clear to me that they needed signage in the front, and that was probably just an oversight. There's a lot of detail that goes into doing this. They've had their money tied up for a really long, long time, and I think it's I'd like to give them some support instead of...
Thank you, Annette.
Commissioner Jack, my apology. For some reason, I thought you were still chair. So that's why I did that.
I move fast sometimes.
Easy one to do. Okay. Let's move on to our next item. This is a tentative parcel map for 7845 Navajo Avenue. Staff report, please.
I believe the next item is the Apple Valley Amendment.
Oh, excuse me, I skipped one. All right, sure. Let's go on to Apple Valley, the one at Caneo and San Ramon Road. My mistake.
No problem. This next amendment is a minor amendment to the master plan of development at the Colony of Apple Valley. If you recall, the Colony at Apple Valley was a zone change, a master plan development that was approved in 2002-2003. This is a minor amendment to four of those lots within that development. The development's located off of Del Rio Road and also touches Conejo Road in this location here. So the applicant is finding that some of the smaller homes are selling better on some of the lots. They do currently have some vacant lots that are yet undeveloped, and they would like to switch out some of the model plans with the smaller plans that were approved originally as part of the master plan of development. So it is a request to basically change the models on four of the lots. Three of the lots will change to the smaller 2114 floor plan, and one lot will change to the 2289 floor plan simply to eliminate having three of the same floor plans in a row so that they can maintain the variety of the units. So as you can see down here, these are the two varieties of elevations for the 2114 plan. And then this is the 2289 plan that will go in between these two. The lots are located along San Ramon Road here. These two lots will change to the 2114 plan, and then the 2289 plan will sit in the middle of those so that there's no more ever than two of the same floor plan in a row. This floor plan up here off of Conejo is also requested to be changed to the 2114 plan. This is a minor amendment, so it is consistent with the previously certified mitigated negative declaration. The project is consistent with the original master plan of development. They're using the same model homes that were previously approved for the development. So staff is recommending that the Planning Commission adopt the resolution to approve the requested amendments this evening. And staff is available for any questions if you have any.
Thank you, Kelly. Any questions? Commissioner O'Keefe?
What was the original footage for the previously approved plans? Because these seem to be very large houses.
The chart is located on page 180 of your staff report.
Right, but I couldn't tell because there's no...
It was highlighted on my screen, but apparently it didn't show up in the staff report. So the requested changes are to... Lots 54, 55,
right,
and 56.
Right, but just the square footage difference.
54 was 3,368 square feet in total in terms of the footprint area, and it will now be 2,831 square feet.
Oh, okay.
Lot 55 was 2,831, and that's the one they're slightly increasing just so there's not three of the same floor plans in a row. And then lot 56 was also 3,368 square feet, so that's being reduced to 2,800 approximate square feet.
Okay, and I thought when I drove out there, it looked to me like the house on Conejo at the corner there was built already. Was I wrong in what I remember?
I know there are a couple houses out there that are built, but I believe that this particular one on this corner is
not yet
constructed.
I thought it was the one at the corner there, Conejo and San Ramon.
There are two corners. I'm not sure if it's the other corner. This is
on the other corner. They're all built out. I don't know. Maybe I remember it wrong. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
No, I'm ready to make a motion.
So we need to let the applicant speak. Is there an applicant for this project? Is there anyone in the public who'd like to speak on this item? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public comment and bring it back for a motion or discussion. Commissioner O'Grady.
Were neighbors sent notices and notified about these proposed changes?
Yes, it's followed our standard noticing procedure.
Okay.
Commissioner Jack? I'm sorry. Go ahead. Commissioner O'Grady.
Sorry, I didn't pause there.
No time for pausing.
I had to get the electrons all lined up, the neurons, I mean.
Go ahead.
I didn't do the math, but the percent reduction in square foot.
I'd like to make a motion to adopt Resolution PC 2008-0032, approving an amendment to CUP 2002-0082 to allow alternate models on lots 51, 54, 55, and 56 as submitted.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Moreno and made by Commissioner Jack. Roll call vote, please.
Vice Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Yes.
Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
Thank you, Annette. Okay, now we can go on to Navajoa. This is for a tentative parcel map for 7845 Navajoa Avenue. Staff report, please.
The tentative parcel map that we're looking at tonight is for a three-unit multifamily residential condominium development. It is located on Navajoa. It backs up to a commercial professional zone in the rear and on one side, and it has a mixture of multifamily and single-family on the other sides. The site area is approximately a 0.291 acres, and it's zoned medium density, zoned RMF10 with medium density residential as the general plan. This is a site plan of the proposed layout. There's an existing residence located in the front of the lot, which is proposed to be demolished, and three airspace condominium units would be proposed. The first unit would take access off Navajoa from a single driveway, and then a 12-foot driveway would lead to the back of the lot and serve the other two units. The lots or the units meet all of the requirements for multifamily development and for the appearance design review manual. These are elevations of the proposed units. This is the front elevation facing Navajoa. This is the back of that unit facing the parking court, and this is the front of the two rear units facing the parking court. And these elevations, it's hard to tell from the picture, but they are staggered, so you'll get some a little bit of definition on the front. Curb, gutter, and sidewalk would be installed along the Navajoa frontage, and these are all four-bedroom units. And they all have enough private space to meet the multifamily requirements. This qualifies for a Class 15 and a Class 32 categorical exemption. These are the findings for approval of a condominium map. And tonight, a staff is recommending that the Planning Commission approve the project as conditioned.
Thank you. Any questions for staff? Commissioner O'Keefe?
What is going to be the color of the garage doors, especially the garage door facing the street?
They do have a color board. Let me go ahead and pull that out, and we'll take a look at that.
Okay. It won't be white.
We could add a condition that it won't be white. I think that would be the best way to really ensure that they won't be.
Okay.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes. This would, again, have had notification of the neighbors of this project sent out.
Yes, on this side it was 300 feet from the edge of the property line.
It was what now?
300 feet is our standard noticing.
Okay. On page 193, the zoning district is residential multifamily with the maximum of 10 dwelling units per acre. For three dwelling units, wouldn't we need a third of an acre?
If you have 0.25, you can round up on that. So the 0.291 acres qualifies for three units.
Okay, so it just barely makes it then for three units.
It does.
Okay. Now, a dwelling unit, by definition, has to do with households and family, which involves relatives. Is that correct?
The main thing that we look at to define a dwelling unit would be a kitchen. So if something has its own entrance and its own kitchen, then it would be its own dwelling unit.
Right, but as far as the restrictions on who can live in a dwelling unit and still have it be called a dwelling unit, though I believe there's other language in the general plan about that, that they have to be related. And I wondered if there was a condition in here that I didn't see that required it. I mean, these are, I think, fairly small four-bedroom dwelling units, and I was considering putting a... So this is a condo arrangement, so there would be... Is CC&Rs, does that constitute the maintenance agreement then for this for the common areas?
Yes, that's correct. The CC&Rs would say who is responsible for maintaining what portions.
Okay. How about setbacks? Were the setbacks looked at? I couldn't tell which is front and which is side and on all these. And how do you sort all that out?
Yes, this meets all the setbacks. It's a 25-foot front setback, 5-foot side setbacks, and a 10-foot rear setback.
Okay.
Other questions?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I did have a question regarding the color board you mentioned, Callie. The back building has... It didn't have any color, and it was difficult to tell if the entire building was painted one single color or each half was a different color. Could you fill us in on that, please?
Yes, actually, we do have a color board here, so I'll go ahead and pass that down. It does look like they are proposing white garage doors, so we could add a condition if you wanted those to be a different color. The back units are painted different colors. One of them is more of a plum color, and the other one's more of a golden color, and the front unit is the same golden color.
Okay, and for those that are in the public, it's kind of hard to tell from the back unit where the front doors are. It looks like windows only on the front of the building at the ground floor. Could you point those out for us?
Yes, the back doors are a little bit hidden behind this little courtyard area that they've designed. It will have a trellis at the front and then a patio and landscape area in the front of the residence. So from this elevation, it looks like it is more a little bit more garage-dominated, but that was... the best way to design this courtyard and the entrance on this side.
So if someone parked in their driveway, would they have a sidewalk path to their front door?
Yes, they do. There's a trellis that would go over the front of it, so that kind of calls attention to the front. And then this is the pathway and the patio with the front door.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to open this to the applicant, if he's here in the audience, if there's no further questions. Is the applicant here tonight? Please let us know your name and your address for the record and tell us about your project.
Okay, thank you. My name is Truett Vance, and my address is 5670 Violetta Avenue here in town. And, I think the planners already did a pretty good summary. But just to give you a little bit of background, it's just a residential infill lot. We asked for no exceptions and took no exceptions. I think the elevations are upgraded and some time was spent on the detail, so I think they're above average. And if you look at the site design and the planning, like Callie already brought out, we've tried to accent those front units or the entrances on the back units to make that feel like a more of a private courtyard area as you walk through. Each unit has a pretty usable private open space, which is nice in the higher density developments. As far as site design, the site right now is bordered by 60 to 70 on two of the three sides, percent commercial. There's that new little commercial just at the back of the lot. And then, of course, the condo commercial just to that side that was built sometime in the 80s. So it is... obviously kind of a mixed-use area already, which is good for the higher-density residential. Obviously, this site drains the wrong way right now. So it's, as the other sites already have been, we are basically raising the level in the back and draining everything out towards the street and have detention basins and bioswales to accommodate that drainage. I really have no further comment on the plans, but I will make myself available right now. If you guys have any questions at all, please feel free to ask.
Thank you, Mr. Nance. Are there questions?
Vance, I'm sorry.
Vance, excuse me.
V as in victory. You bet.
Okay. My apologies. Any questions? I had one. I couldn't find the location of the mailboxes. Are they going to be at the street?
Yes, they'll be at the street.
Okay, very good. And on the sides, I am assuming that there's room for garbage cans, that there'll be individual garbage cans, and they'll roll them out to the street?
Yeah, there's red curb on this one that will accommodate. There's enough red curb on this one because of the fire hydrant at that upper, as you're looking at the screen, the upper left-hand corner, which will accommodate the waste wheelers.
Okay, so on those back units on the very sides of the units, that's where the cans could go?
Could be stored, correct.
Could be stored. Okay,
yeah.
Very good. All right. Any other questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
But then I realized that there was a trade-off because by having it there and the entrance more toward the back, it created kind of a little, excuse me, neighborhood. But I think it's important that the garages not be painted white and that there's a complementary color there to kind of detract from garage.
Okay, I second that motion there. I like that also. Any other comments? Seeing none, would someone like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
Okay. I move that the Planning Commission adopt Resolution PC 2008-0034 approving tentative parcel map 2007-0090. A request to establish 3 airspace units on 1 common lot based on findings and subject to conditions of approval. And a condition will be added that the garage doors will be painted a color that complements the other colors that are there, and staff can make the final determination.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
A motion by Commissioner O'Keefe, second by Commissioner Jack. Roll call.
Oh, can we have a little discussion after?
You want some discussion tonight, too? Okay.
I know we have a lot of things.
I thought we had.
Well, but I thought this was a more appropriate time.
That's fine.
Because it has to do with a condition I would like to add. And that goes back to what I was, the questions I was asking of staff earlier about the general plan definitions and restrictions for dwelling units. I didn't know if in the ensuing time anyone had had a chance to look that up and could let me know whether or not we could put a condition in to that effect at this time or not.
As the maker of the motion, I can't accept that recommendation. And that's because it's enforcement is too difficult.
Excuse me. Okay. I was just asking. I did not ask to have the condition added. I just asked if it could be.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I think we got it. Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate the comment. Any further discussion? Commissioner Moreno?
Staff had recommended that within that condition, not only that it be complimentary, but to specifically state that it not be white. So I would recommend adding that.
I thought I said that, but specifically not white.
Okay, I thought.
Okay.
Does the second agree with that?
I agree.
Okay, very good. Ready for roll call?
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Yes.
Commissioner Jack?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
Thank you, Annette. Our next item is a amendment to CUP plan for San Paulo Road. Staff report, please.
The proposed amendment that we're looking at is at 4800 San Paulo, and the applicant is proposing to add manufactured home and RV sales to the approved use of that CUP. The project is located here, right here along Highway 101. We are looking at only 4800 San Paulo tonight, not the adjacent lot, which was previously approved for boat sales. The lot is zoned commercial tourist, and it's about a half-acre lot. The project is just proposing to add manufactured home and RV sales. To give you a little bit of background on this, it was originally approved in April of 1999. The Planning Commission approved the CUP for a 2,880-square-foot building and a 2,000-square-foot sales lot for automobile sales. That was originally on this parcel here at 5,000 San Paulo Road. In April of 2000, the CUP was amended, and this additional lot was added to the conditional use permit. It was about a half-acre site here at 4,800 San Paulo. The Mitsubishi dealer operated the site until about 2006, 2007 when they closed. And in the most recent amendment to this project was just recently in January 2008, there was an amendment approved to add boat sales and service use to the CUP. Only the lot at 5,000 San Paulo is being operated for boat sales, and currently the lot at 4,800 is vacant. So right now the applicant at 4,800 is proposing to add this use. The use would only be added to this site. The owner of 5,000 San Paulo has chosen not to be part of this amendment, so we're just looking at adding manufactured home and RV sales to 4,800 San Paulo. The applicant on this project is proposing to use an existing building located on the center parcel for their office use. 4,800 San Paulo was not originally approved as part of the CUP, so we want to make it very clear that only the office use may be used for the manufactured home sales, and manufactured homes and RVs are not to be displayed on this
land. I'm assuming that whoever leases this will be maintaining the landscaping, or is the owner of the property going to be maintaining the landscaping?
That's probably something that would be worked out between the applicant or between the person leasing the property and the owner. Either way, if the site is being operated with this use, the landscaping will need to be maintained in order to comply with their conditions.
Okay, but say the lease terminates. Is there any enforcement for making sure that the landscaping is maintained? And the reason I'm bringing that up is because that was an issue before, not on this particular piece of property, but an adjacent parcel.
We have found that it's very hard to enforce a condition like that if the property is not bringing any income in. We could possibly send them a letter and try to get them to maintain the landscaping and comply with their CUP, but if a business isn't being operated on site, it just gets very difficult to enforce. So it's not really guaranteed that we can force them to maintain it.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Hetherington?
The lot at 4,800 is a lot smaller than the one at 5,000 San Paulo. Can we condition how many manufactured homes are on there and how many recreational vehicles? I guess my nightmare is that there's just these big square box things sitting in the parking lot and not making the area very attractive.
Yes, you could add a condition like that that either limits the number or maybe you want to do a percentage of the site for coverage. That's something that we see like with somebody's doing a residence, they would do. We condition them for a certain site percentage.
And also, can we condition for native plants so at least there's a chance that something will take hold, and then if the owner doesn't, we can't enforce him to take care of it, at least native plants would maybe take over?
Yes, we could do that. Commissioner O'Grady?
In driving around the area, I had a hard time visualizing how some of these manufactured homes could navigate those roads or drives, whatever they're classified as, and I wondered if Mr. Kahn had looked at that. I didn't see any reference in the staff report to the logistics of getting, I guess, particularly manufactured homes in and out. I know there's some gigantic RVs as well. So I was a little bit concerned about some safety issues there and road drive blockage. Sort of the same thing Commissioner Hetherington brought up.
Staff has visited the site, and San Paulo Road is a fairly wide facility, and currently the boat facility that's operating next to it has had large vehicles on it, so I don't personally see any problem with getting those large, manufactured homes on the property. I would like to hear from the applicant and be sure that he's okay with getting those facilities on there, but I don't feel there'd be a problem.
Well, you say you looked on that San Paulo, is that it? But isn't the access off of that drive behind?
No, there's a driveway right off of San Paulo, I believe.
Well, but to get into the lot, don't you have to go by the sales office and then
yes.
make that turn and
right.
go back in?
Yes.
Okay. Are these, do you know if these are going to be new RVs or is this new and used?
The applicant has not specified. It's my understanding the manufactured homes, of course, are new. I'm not sure about the RVs.
Okay, we'll save that for the applicant. There's an existing Mitsubishi sign, which was not removed when Mitsubishi left. Is there anything in the conditions here that deals with that?
There's currently no condition. You could condition that they replace it with the new property owner, the new person operating on the site, or you could just condition that it be removed if that was necessary.
Okay. Is there anything here that allows motorcycle sales on this site?
No, not in this part of the CUP.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Commissioner Jagg?
The only question I've got would go to Mr. Kahn. In the event that, you know, some of those manufactured homes get pretty long, and if you have to make the swing out, go across the freeway and then make the left turn to get onto the freeway, if you're going north, going south wouldn't be so bad. That's the only thing. Certain times a day, that would be an absolute nightmare down there. So, and again, I don't know whether you can condition anything to, you know, restricted hours of the day.
Over to our D and then back down San Anselmo would be a good route. So they'd have to turn left out of the driveway and then turn right onto San Anselmo and then either right onto US 101 South or left onto US 101 North. I don't know if they specifically could make those turns. However, the highways are designed for large vehicles, and we do have large moving vans coming on and off those interchange ramps. I'm certainly concerned, like you are, with the level of service is very poor during lunchtime and during rush hour times, those vehicles clogging up the roadway. I also believe, and maybe we'll ask the applicant also, that when they bring one in, it would be an oversized load. And with an oversized load, they have to get approval from the California Highway Patrol to use 101, and they also get approval through the Public Works Department to deliver those vehicles anywhere in the city of Atascadero. So that might be a means to limit their time of delivery. If it's an oversized load, they have to get approval from us, and we process those permits.
Thank you, Steve. Any other questions? Seeing none, I'd like to open it to the applicant.
Thank you. My name is Sal Urena. I live in Madera, California. And yes, we have applied for a permit to have a manufactured home display location there. I think it's a beautiful location, has freeway exposure. And I too had some concerns, just like you are talking about, specifically the delivery of the models onto the lot. The transport, we've already had the transporter go and evaluate the situation. They feel that there's no problem there. They have all the necessary equipment. They have pilot cars for traffic control. And you're correct, Steve, that they do obtain transportation permits from Caltrans and the local communities that they have to go through and follow all their requirements. And if, whether it's generally the width of it is what dictates whether they're going to require pilot cars or a highway patrol escort. And so to address that, the other point was the landscaping part. We have an understanding with the property owner that I would maintain the improve and maintain the landscaping. When you say that you want a native landscaping, I hope you're not referring to a big oak tree, because that would defeat a lot of the benefit from being there. And what was the other questions concerning? Oh, when you would go north or south. Caltrans dictates and they give you the route as to how to get to a specific point. The transporter would obtain these permits, and they call Caltrans and give them the starting point and the destination point. And they dictate where to go depending on the width of the streets, depending on what freeway overhead passes you have to go through, whether they're high enough or not. And the only homes that would be going on those streets there would be the models, because anything else sold would go directly from the manufacturing facility to the site. So you're going to be limited. We plan to have no more than 5 models on that lot because of its size.
Questions? I believe Commissioner Hetherington was first.
I wasn't expecting oak trees, but some local, low-lying native plants,
yes,
that could take a foothold and make the property more attractive.
Yes.
I understand about the 5 models. It seems like it's going to be a tight squeeze if you throw in RVs.
Okay. The RVs, it's not specifically the RVs that you're accustomed to, like a travel trailer or a big recreational self-propelled type of thing. I'm referring to the small. It's categorized as an RV, but it's 400 square feet. And they're very small.
And how many of those were you planning to put on?
As of this moment, none. I just want to have it in case, because our manufacturers build those.
Commissioner Janik? I think
my question has been answered.
Okay. Commissioner O'Grady?
Are these small RVs, are they self-propelled or are they pulled?
They're pull.
Okay.
They're referred to as a park model.
Okay. And you're talking about selling all, obviously, new manufactured homes and new RVs.
Yes.
This is not a used RV lot.
No.
Okay. So we can condition to add the word new. Then you would have no objection to that.
Transport at night? Or what have you. So
I think 2 in the morning would probably be ideal. But thank you, Sandy. Yes. The other question had to do with signage.
Yes.
What were you thinking about? We do have a sign ordinance here, and I don't know if you've had the opportunity to read that.
I've not looked at this. I believe I was given a handout. I've not read it. But the plans were to just use the existing pole sign that's there and just change the face of it.
Okay, so it won't say Mitsubishi anymore.
No, it won't say Mitsubishi.
Okay. All right. Thanks. I think that answers all my questions.
Any other questions? I have one, sir. You said these are going to be models, so I'm assuming they're going to stay on the site for quite a long time. Is that correct?
Well, it's always advantageous to turn your inventory because of the factories come up with new decor, new elevations, always improving on the product. So at 6 months, we like to start putting those models on sale so that before the year's over, we can turn them.
Okay. Well, then my question has to do with skirting, that normally mobile homes have skirting around the edges, so you can't see what's going on underneath them. They look more like a home. Will you be putting skirting around each of the models, or will you be looking underneath them?
No. The plan is to skirt them, if required, all the way around it or in the areas that are exposed to the public.
Very good. Okay. Any other questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions from the public? Seeing none, I'll close it to the public and bring it back for our discussion. Or a motion?
I'll make a motion. That the Planning Commission adopt Resolution PC 2008-0036, approving PLN 2008-1295, an amendment to conditional use permit 1999-002 based on findings and subject to conditions of approval, and adding the condition of native plants low-lying to be planted on site.
I'll second that. I would like to add the Mitsubishi sign to go and another sign placed on site.
Okay.
Would that
I'm
be acceptable?
To that. Yes.
And would the maker of the motion, unless I missed it, allow a condition to be added that says only new manufactured homes and RVs are permitted on site?
I'm fine with that. Is it
I'm okay
second?
With that, too.
Okay.
Okay, it's been moved by Commissioner Hetherington and, Commissioner Jack, comment? Sure.
One question. Did you want to put anything in there on the frontage skirting? On the manufactured homes?
I think he is saying that he would do that. If he didn't, it would look terrible. I would agree. So,
are you okay if we condition that, Sal?
Yes, that's okay.
Okay.
Then I'll
okay.
add the condition that
Let's
skirting
that
be
condition.
Present on the public
on the site at
sign.
All times. Okay, very good. So thank moved
you.
By Commissioner Hetherington and I'll seconded by Commissioner Fonzie. And you have one more comment?
No, I was going to say.
Okay, very good. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Vice Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Keefe? Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
Thanks, Annette. Okay, our next item is tentative tract maps at 7705 Santa Ysabel Avenue. Staff report, please.
This project is a four-unit condominium map. It's a tentative tract map on Santa Ysabel. The project site is zoned is zoned residential multifamily with 16 units per acre, and it is a high-density residential area. This is the site plan of the proposed condo project. There is an existing house in the front, which is proposed to remain and be remodeled. The house in the front would have to comply with all the condo conversion requirements so that it would be brought up to code. There's a garage that's existing that's proposed to be torn down in order to do a 20-foot wide accessway to the back of the lot. A new carport would be installed next to the existing house. Three units would be are proposed in the back of the lot, and this is the elevation that's proposed in those units. Some of them are flopped so that they'll be the garage will be on the opposite side. Landscaping has been provided around the parking court and in the front yard, and the residences meet all the multifamily design requirements. They're approximately 11.
It's a small lot, and there's a lot of columns there. Did you ever consider three?
No, but I think that's a small change that you could condition if you like. It's really just an architectural opinion.
Well, does anybody else have the same feeling that there's that one column in the middle could be eliminated? If it's just me and everybody else is happy.
I think I could take it or leave it either way. No.
I agree with you. And trying to look outside from the inside out through the windows, you're looking at the back of a column. It obstructs your view. So I don't think that's a desirable feature.
As long as it's not a support.
I don't think that, yeah.
Why don't we ask the applicant when he shows up? Okay. Any other questions, Commissioner O'Keefe?
I think that's it because the fencing issue that I had was addressed.
Okay. Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes. There's a condition 14 that has to do with all chain link fencing required to be replaced prior to recording the final map. Why did you pick prior to recording the final map as opposed to prior to occupancy, issuance of an occupancy permit, for example?
In this case, it's already an existing unit, so there's nothing to really lock them down to ever completing these upgrades. The only thing that once the final map is recorded, they have a condominium unit. In the back lots, they're not built yet, so we can condition changes and we can require that that things are to be done before building permits or before final occupancy. If there's already somebody living in the front unit, then and it's already being used, there's nothing to really hold them to it.
But doesn't this deal with chain link fencing, which is a common site thing? We're not talking specifically about the front unit, are we? I'm not understanding your answer, I guess.
Do you mean specifically just the chain link, or?
Yeah, on page 233, it says all the chain link fencing will be required to be placed to be consistent with the fencing plan, and these items have been, well, maybe it's referring to more than just the fence, conditioned to be fixed or completed prior to recording the final map. So you're saying there's most of those things in there have to do with the existing.
Yeah. Yes, all of those are things that were addressed in the property condition report.
Yeah.
They actually have to have a report done to say if the if everything in the house is up to code. So those all have to be completed before final map.
Thanks. You're right, Roberta. It is getting late.
Okay. Any other questions, Commissioner
O'Keefe? No, I'm confused. I thought the chain length fencing was going to be removed because it's not an allowable use on something like that. And doesn't how is this related to condo conversion and chain length fencing?
I'm sorry, I don't really see where the chain link fence part is. Can you point that out to me? Because I
page 233, at least the part I was looking at.
Okay, and I'm looking at 242, which is one of the conditions. So. I mean, I understand.
I see what you're talking about now. The final map should have a fencing plan in it. We always require a fencing plan as part of the final map.
Right.
It's recorded with the CCNRs. What they could do is just to show that the chain link fence is going to be replaced in that final map fencing plan, and then we could require that it's actually replaced later on.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Seeing none, I invite the applicant to come to the podium, please, and tell us about your project.
Good evening, Commissioners. Roy Settings, 10780 Vista Road, Atascadero. I really don't have a whole lot to add to the staff report. As staff said, these are condominiums. I think what makes them unique is they are detached condominiums. The use here is consistent with the neighborhood. It's all zoned high-density multifamily. I'm flanked on both sides by attached apartments. So this really is kind of an upgrade for what's been going on in the neighborhood. Consistent with smart growth, we are walking distance to Walgreens and some of the grocery stores and restaurants. So when I look at something like that, I see that little front two-bedroom unit, which has been kept very nice inside. It was owned by a senior. Who I purchased it from. I mean, it'd be a good place for a senior to live because they can walk to, like I said, drugstores, a couple of restaurants, and grocery stores if they needed to. The back units are just low-end stamped, resubmitted. It actually turns into a big process. Prior to this point, I wouldn't have had any problem with it, but I'd like to ask that we can leave it the way it is now just to prevent the expense of making those changes. Naturally, being condominiums, there are CCNRs and a homeowners association to provide insurance and upkeep for the common areas. Let's see. Somewhere along the way, during the plan check process, I elected to spend the extra money to put the detention basins underground to make the lot more attractive and more usable rather than have these 2 and 3 foot deep pits everywhere that are kind of a hazard. I really don't like to do that. So we had a civil engineer design a new subterranean detention basins so we could, you know, leave the land flat, landscape the top of it, make it look nice. That's really about all I have to say. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Eddings. Commissioner O'Keefe?
Same question regarding the garage doors. Are those going to be white?
No, I believe they are all different colors, and they are the accent color, which goes on the trim.
Okay. And is the front house, which is going to remain, going to be color coordinated with the back units so everything ties together?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And if there's a structural issue with regard to the design, with regard to the posts, then I will withdraw that condition unless somebody else wants to add it. So.
Okay. Any other questions? Commissioner Jack? No?
I don't. If there's no other questions, I'm prepared to make a motion.
Let's let the public have their say. One moment.
Okay. Thank you.
And thank you, Royce. Would anyone in the public like to speak? Seeing none, I'll close the public comment portion. Bring it back
if
for
I could
your
make
motion.
One additional comment.
Yes.
I visited the site today, and there's a row of mailboxes along the property frontage. I don't quite know what's going to do with that, but when these applicants come in and build these projects, they build a nice sidewalk, and then the federal government comes in and plops one of those big post office boxes that blocks the entire sidewalk. So I'd like a condition to be added that basically says they'll coordinate with the post office early in the construction and design of this project, and that a 4-foot path of travel will be allowed along the entire property frontage.
Thank you, Steve. All right. Go ahead, Sandy.
Okay. I move the Planning Commission adopt resolution PC 2008-0035 approving tentative tract map 2006-0096 to establish 4 airspace condominium units on 1 common lot based on findings and subject to conditions. And help me out if I miss any conditions. One condition would be a minimum of 3-foot high on, or a maximum of 3-foot high on the front wall or fence. I can't read that far.
Okay.
Yeah, that the other fence, chain link fence, would not exceed 6 foot in height, and to coordinate with the post office to allow for a 4-foot path of travel along the sidewalk.
Excuse me, I don't think you mean chain link fence in the back. That's going to be removed, so it would just be a 6-foot fence.
Okay.
Is that correct, Steph?
Yes, you can just say the fencing condition that's
fencing
on the screen.
Okay.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Been moved by Commissioner Jack and seconded by Commissioner O'Keefe. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Jack?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
Thanks, Annette. We'll move on to the community staff reports. We are done with the public hearing portion. And this is regarding the 5-year capital improvement program. Staff report, please.
Yeah, just a moment while the PowerPoint gets booted up. This is a report I enjoy doing every year. When we come to the Planning Commission is we present our capital improvement program and our 5-year capital improvement program and find it consistent with the general plan. So that I get my. Oh, yeah. Are you doing that? Yes. So the capital improvement elements are as follows. They're roads and bridges, drainage facilities, facilities which are buildings, parks, a restroom replacement project, nice new bathroom up there with a stone facade. I don't know if you've been there or seen it yet. It's a very nice facility. And then these are projects that we plan for the upcoming year. This is the current gift shop and ticket facility at the zoo. We're going to be removing that facility and replacing it and redoing the entrance of the zoo, which is a very exciting project. Next. Streetscape projects. We're going to be putting in new improvements at Traffic Way in Palma. And this is a layout of it. You can see Palma goes in 2 directions. We're going to be adding a median in the middle of Traffic Way in order to calm traffic as it comes down traffic way, also restricting lefts in and out of Palma. There's real poor sight distance off Palma Avenue, so people won't be able to turn there, and also it'll add more safety for the pedestrians. It'll add a refuge area in the middle of traffic way. There'll also be bulb outs on the corners, street trees, street lights, and enhanced sidewalk along this area. Next. The other area we're going to be working on this summer is the Virginia Plaza crosswalk. Next, we're going to be adding bulb outs, enhanced sidewalk, and it's going to be a paved crosswalk with flashing lights in it. Again, the bulb outs put pedestrians out in the traveled way so they can see vehicles and the vehicles can see them. Next. We're also working on the design, which will be constructed next fall, is an entrance feature at Rosario at El Camino Real. We're going to be adding medians, small medians into the street, landscaping, again, bulb out to slow traffic down, a crosswalk that will be raised, not raised, but it'll have pavers and a flashing light. Next. We're also going to be installing next winter a arch across El Camino Real in front of the Colony Square. We'll be adding medians through there and enhanced sidewalks on the opposite side of the road from Colony Square. Next. We'll also be working on the Ped Tunnel. This is an artist rendering. We'll be putting facilities similar to this on both sides of the Ped Tunnel, getting rid of big humps that restrict ADA access and adding lighting to the inside of the tunnel in order to make the tunnel more attractive for the public to use. So with that, I asked you to, under the findings that it forecasts the needs until 2012 and that we find this consistent with the EIR and the general plan. Staff worked very hard on the general plan in about 2002, and then it really reflects the current city council's and the current city's needs, so I really find all of our projects consistent with this general plan per the staff report. Next. And with that, I recommend you approve Resolution 2008-27, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Steve. This is exciting to see it. Are there any questions? Commissioner O'Keefe?
Which projects that you showed us are going to be funded from redevelopment funds, and how will the other projects be funded from what funds?
A lot of the projects I showed you are already built. The zoo projects are funded with redevelopment funding, and the streetscape projects are funded with redevelopment funding, and they're also funded with a grant through SLOCOG for streetscape improvements to $375,000.
Okay, and the rest of it, is it general fund?
The rest of them, the paving project was funded through LTF funding, community center was funded through FEMA funding, general funding, and I can't remember other sources.
There were grants.
Lewis Avenue Bridge was funded through street impact fees, through federal grants from Congressman Thomas and Capps, through redevelopment funds, and I believe that's it. Let's see, what other projects did I show? Creek Bank Protection Project. That was done with redevelopment funding because it helped support this building. So many of the projects were done with redevelopment funding.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes, I wanted to ask you about the status, progress on Balboa and Llano rehab. I didn't see it mentioned in here.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. We're going to be bringing that to the City Council meeting on July the 8th. We have completed a topographic survey of that project, and we've completed a boundary survey. We're doing the design in-house. What we're proposing to ask the City Council on July the 8th is to allow us to come in immediately and use the red rock from the local quarry up on the hill to grade that area where it's really rutted to allow emergency access as soon as possible so that in the months of July and August, when the fire danger is the highest, people can get out. We'd then be doing another project in September.
Later this summer. And that would help, too. I know a lot of folks walk through there or ride bicycles, so, and it's so rutted, it's pretty dangerous. And will that help with that as well?
Very much so.
Okay. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Thank you, Steve. Do we like a motion? Yes.
I move we adopt Resolution PC 2008-0027, notifying the City Council that the Planning Commission has found the 2008 update of the 2007 five-year capital improvement plan consistent with the general plan based on findings.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Jack, seconded by Commissioner Hetherington. Roll call vote, please. Moreno, excuse me.
Commissioner or Vice Chairperson Jack?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
No, it was Commissioner Moreno.
Commissioner Moreno?
Yes.
Commissioner Hetherington?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Grady?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Keefe?
Yes.
And Chairperson Fonzie?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
Thank you. We'll move on to Commissioner comments and reports. Anybody?
Just one brief one.
Okay, Commissioner O'Grady.
I'd like to ask staff about a project that this body approved last year on Santa Isabel. If you'll recall, it was that, I think it was 12 units that there were a couple of existing houses there, and the lots were in kind of bad condition, especially along the front, and it sort of was a private street that went in a ways. Okay. Well, I was by there the other day, and there's a for sale sign on that property, and no work has been done. It was apparent to me, and it's still a mess with assorted railroad ties, probably violates the weed ordinance. And I just wondered what could be done to improve that blight in that neighborhood. It doesn't appear that anything's going to happen to improve it anytime soon since it's got a for sale sign up there.
The for sale sign is actually pretty typical. Most projects that are approved are always open for sale, so it would be for sale with the approved plan development on it. I understand that the fire department is actually going to be using those as a test run to burn down. They have come in for a demo permit.
I'm sorry, I asked.
So there's some APCD clearance that they need to get before they can actually move forward with that, but that is the plan. The fire department is going to be taking care of that. And then they are in the process of getting their final map and building permits. They've come through two plan checks already, so we should see those shortly.
Commissioner Hetherington?
I would ask staff to please take some pictures of that wood enclosure at the West Front Street residential facility and use that as a model when people come to us and say they want these wood enclosures and give them a time frame that this is what it looks like after so many years, because you know that really stood out in that project, that wood trash enclosure just had deteriorated to the point of being an eyesore, and I think that would be a good show and tell.
Any other? Commissioner O'Keefe?
This has to do with the tree ordinance and tree evaluations, and I'm specifically referring to the Santa Cruz issue. I communicated quite a bit with Kelly Gleason on this because the Davy tree report said that the tree is not an imminent hazard at this time. And I said, well, if that was the case, I mean, what do they mean by imminent hazard? Because if it wasn't a danger, then I wouldn't have removed it. And Kelly clarified it for me, but it really has to do with the definition in the tree ordinance. And if it's an imminent hazard, then it doesn't even require Planning Commission approval. So the way it was used there is not the way I heard one of the commissioners interpret it. And so could you give some clarification on that, Kelly? Because, you know, we did go around, and your last explanation really clarified it for me.
Definitely. I'll try to be articulate, as sleepy as I am. We're actually working on a policy document to distribute to the Planning Commission, which sort of clarifies the different levels of definitions that are in our tree ordinance for removal. Our tree ordinance does have certain categories, one of which is an emergency, one of which is a hazardous tree removal, and then just normal tree removals for construction. Emergency tree removals are trees that
have to come out now. They are cracking during a storm, or they've already fallen down and they need to be removed. Those emergency situations do not require Planning Commission approval. They can be approved by the planning director for removal, and they truly are, you know, immediate necessary removals that have to be done absolutely immediately.
Comments? I had a question for you, Steve, regarding the Santa Rosa overcrossing. I know you had a meeting, the last commission meeting, and we didn't get to go here, and I just wondered how that was resolved.
Yes, just to give everyone some background, the developers of the West Front Hotel and West Front properties were required by the City Council to install traffic signals at the Santa Rosa interchange. The traffic signals have been installed, and they're actually working quite well. We think the level of service has increased. With any traffic control device, you have to look at how it works and make minor adjustments in order to make it work better. The neighborhood living on the south side of Santa Rosa Road off West Front was disturbed that the median was added in the middle of Santa Rosa Road, not letting them have access. So many of the residents that live over there traveled further up Santa Rosa Road and went down Old Santa Rosa Road to get to West Front. This caused an increase of traffic on Old Santa Rosa Road. So one of their primary questions or concerns was get rid of the median. That message was loud and clear from the group. So what I promised the group is that I heard their concerns, and we would study it from an engineering aspect. We didn't want to go react and suddenly do that and then cause another problem, so I asked them for some time to be able to review it. I did meet with the traffic engineer today, and we looked at a couple ideas to improve the interchange. So he is going back with those ideas and studying it. We may be able to remove the median and allow West Front access without degrading the level of service or safety, because that's our primary concern. The other comment I got from the public, just so everybody knows, I've heard all the comments, is called permissive lefts across the bridge. As you cross Santa Rosa Bridge, if there's a vehicle trying to turn onto US 101 and traffic is coming across the bridge, that vehicle sits there and can't vehicles can't get by it, so it stacks up on the bridge. This only happens during peak hour flow. So one thing we're looking at doing is providing three very narrow lanes across the bridge in order to allow stacking of those vehicles. It wouldn't have a very deep stacking length, but it would have enough to handle during most cases. Another thing we're looking at is actually allowing permissive lefts, so that you would get the green arrow telling you you could turn left onto US 101. That would definitely lower the level of service on the bridge because the other direction would have a red. So we're looking at those two issues. We'll be getting the group back together in a couple weeks to report on what we've found.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Commissioner Jack?
Steve, I travel that. The lights, and it isn't only relegated to busy times. I don't call Sunday exactly a busy time, and it's just a matter of if you get two people waiting to make a left turn, you're going through two or three light changes before anything really happens. And I know there's not a good answer up there.
Just to get the information from you, is that caused by the vehicle can't turn left because of the traffic flow coming the other way?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be sure of that. Because we've been, you know, I really quiz people that come in with complaints or suggestions because I want to know what's going on. I've watched it operate for the last 2 weeks almost every day, and so I like knowing all these details about what happens.
And I just love the ones that come up off of East Front, make a left onto it, and then make a left to get back on the freeway. That's two lights.
Okay, any
Thank
other
you.
Comments, reports?
I just wanted to harass
him. Okay, I guess he's duly harassed then. Let's move on to the director's report.
Yes, thank you. Our next meeting would normally be on July 1st, but due to the holidays, we're going to cancel that meeting. So there's no meeting on July 1st. Your next regular meeting will be July 15th. couple updates on some other things going on. The Rite Aid project that was approved by Planning Commission as a conditional use permit a couple months ago, they have submitted for their building permit application. So that's on a fast track through the review process right now, and we're hoping that that project gets going here in the fairly near future. The Colony Square project, they've been waiting on getting their final map approved so that they could move forward with the financing and construction on the project. The final map was approved by the City Council and the Redevelopment Agency at the last meeting. We're working on with the applicant to get all the final documents pulled together to record that, so we expect that to get recorded here in the next couple weeks. The Holiday Inn Express project up on West Front, which is part of the signal issue we just discussed, is very close to completion. We expect that they'll be open probably by the end of the month. Blanket make all votes yes votes, but you can make them a yes vote when they're necessary to break a tiebreaker. So that's what the recommendation to the City Council is right now. So it wouldn't change things that much. So if you're interested in that issue, or you want to address the council about it, that will be on their next agenda. The staff reports probably are out tomorrow, and then you can see what the final text on that looks like. So I didn't want any of the commissioners to be surprised by that, because they're going to do something on it. It may not be exactly what you had envisioned them doing on it. Other things going on at the City Council next week, also the SHIELD initiative, which is an initiative that limits the size of what are called discount superstores, which are large stores with grocery stores incorporated into them. There's been a ballot, obviously, that's been circulated. The city clerk has verified that there's the necessary number of signatures to bring that to potentially an election, so that is on the City Council's agenda for next week. City Council basically has three decisions. They can either approve the ballot measure as an ordinance next week, they could direct staff to do an analysis in the next 30 days, or they could put it on the next regular election ballot, which would be the November ballot. So we're not sure exactly what they'll do, obviously, but that will be a major point of discussion at the next council meeting as well. Yes?
What's the difference between 1 and 3?
1 would be they could just approve it outright next week, and then it would just instantly become a city ordinance, or they could send it as an initiative to the voters and have the voters decide. And one other issue that we're going to be discussing with the City Council next week, this is more of a building code issue, but it does affect planning projects, obviously, is the issue of dormant and expired building permits. Due to the downturn in the construction economy, especially in the residential sector of the economy, we have a lot of permits that aren't moving forward at this point. They're in some sort of plan check phase. Some of them are actually ready to issue, but because there's no market to build units, the builders aren't going to start construction. So we're going to the City Council with a report on that, ask them what, if anything, they would like the staff to do to either provide additional extensions beyond what's already allowed in our code. So we're asking for direction on that issue, but clearly we've seen the residential construction market that was booming basically 18 months ago, basically it's come to a complete standstill at this point. So we want to check in with the council and see exactly how they want to handle that situation.
Thank you, Warren. Any questions for Warren? Commissioner O'Grady?
On the abstention issue, you gave us a glimpse of what it might be. And if indeed the provision is going to be that an abstention is to be counted as a yes vote in the case of a tie, the order of the voting, how does one know, unless one is last in voting, whether, and is tallying the votes as it goes along, whether his or her vote would be a tiebreaker and either count it as a no vote or as a non-voting or a yes. You see what I mean?
Yeah. The clerk would make that determination after the vote's over.
So you never know.
You wouldn't know until after it's all done.
Mm-hmm.
And as I recall, Warren, the City Council expressed their desire that we basically not abstain if possible. They want you to take a vote, and that's why they put it in the way they did. Does that make sense?
Well, the U.S. Congress can abstain and have it count as a real abstention, and so I don't know why that's not good enough for the city of Atascadero.
I understand what you're saying. I'm just being the messenger on this one. Okay. Any other comments? Seeing none, we'll adjourn the meeting at 10:33 p.m.
Hey, very good, everybody.